Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Zab Chat. It's been interesting over the last week or so. I've had probably more reaction about last week's episode than perhaps any of the preceding 2.5 years. It was around boys' education, if you didn't catch it. And we're actually going to continue to explore that today. And, Bill, I hope you're comfortable with that, but we haven't got a guest. You're my guest.
Delighted. Well, myself and Wilbur. Welcome, Wilbur.
Yeah, it's good to be here again, and what a wonderful topic.
It is an interesting topic, and I know you haven't been that well, so thanks for making the effort to get in and be part of this. And look, last week we started exploring boys' education, co-education, etc., and we can, I think today, Bill, I'm hoping you might be able to unwrap that a bit more, and I've got a couple of thought starter questions for you, but could we start maybe with the last couple of days at Xavier College, because Monday night we had the big leaders' dinner, which I'll get you to talk to, and then last night our global young leaders all came back together with a whole bunch of alumni who'd been part of that project. It was just a couple of fantastic nights.
They were two exceptional evenings, Shane. And so global leaders, which was last night, this comes on the back of a program that's been running for years and years, and unfortunately was one of the byproducts of COVID, when it sliced through, the capacity of various organizations to pull, yep, overseas ventures together. It fell away. We've got a decade's worth of old boys who have been on this experience, had been quite influential. I think we stepped back last night to 2009 was our longest graduate. As you looked at the 10 boys who accompanied you, Shane, over to New York, and you looked at the impact this experience has had, it's quite remarkable. But the other remarkable thing is that a United Nations sort of convention that fell away, Xavier's done its own, and it's tapped into its own Ulzaverian network, the various connections. We've James Larson, who we've mentioned on this show before, and Australian ambassador to the United Nations, Ulzaverian.
Yeah.
I know was incredibly influential on the boys, what they gained from it, how they spoke about it. They've been into Boston College and Fordham Prep, and these are significant Jesuit institutions of the world, and then just collaborating with peers their own age and around the other side of the globe and on topics that resonate for us all in Jesuit education. It was a mighty evening, I thought.
Yeah, I agree, and we're going to dedicate a Zav Chat episode in the next week or two exactly to that. But back to Monday night.
Yeah, look, that, in the Great Hall, it's our second edition. We bring back our captains, our vice captains, our general excellence winners, but also captains of industry, those who might not have been badged or prefect at the time, but gee, they've gone on and accomplished really, yes, significantly over the course of their time. Patrick Loftus-Hills, who hosted our boys on that very global leaders experience and brought old Zavs back together, gave the Xavier oration. A real delight, Patrick's receiving an honorary doctorate today at Monash University.
Yes,
incredibly,
yes,
richly deserved. And he was just magnificent, unpacking, an interesting geopolitical landscape, but bringing a moral compass into how we might sort of evaluate and think through, challenging issues of his time. And he's being in New York in the US, it was fascinating to see his insights. And then Michael Noonan, college captain of 2000.
I think we're all shaking our heads after
the captain's address. If we didn't think Patrick's was just exceptional, well then, here comes a college captain back 25 years out, and that's where we sort of go to with this. He was the elder statesman in the room of the captains. And then, challenged us to go, with the underpinnings we have at Xavier, normal is not enough.
It was a powerful, powerful
normal
speech.
Is not enough.
Yeah.
We're asked for more. We're asked to give back to more, to challenge ourselves and to go out on that edge and make a difference to others. And, oh, my gosh, it was good, wasn't it?
And it's great to perhaps start today's chat around boys' education with that, in the sense that these are boys who've come through an all-boys school, college, and here they are 5, 10, 20 years later, and there are just so many fantastic aspects to both nights, to be honest. And I might just try and delve at the start, and Wilbur, I'll get you to come in as well with a lot of this. There was an article in the last few days. It was interesting that it popped up. I think it was in the Herald Sun around toxic masculinity, and it was part of what we talked about last week, but we didn't really perhaps unpack it to its full extent. I might just throw you, and this might take a bit of time, so I understand that, but could you just give us an overview as a private boys' college principal as to what toxic masculinity is? Is it real? Is it evident in 2025? And we're not just talking Xavier, we're just talking generally.
Yeah. And look, thanks for throwing the question, Shane, because it does warrant a little bit of consideration. So we'll take maybe a little bit of time to unpack it.
Okay,
I think
sure.
It's a challenging question, if for no other reason than the themes are attracting a lot of noise, and you made reference to articles that come through and they talk of elite, you know, private schools and toxic masculinity. So I feel it would be good to debunk, you know, a few of these myths and mindsets and provide a little balance in the discussion. So maybe the first point I'd note is that any person, any organisation, any school that genuinely embraces the care and education of children should be respected and valued for what they do, for who they are, for that service they provide. There is no more, I believe, more noble or important undertaking of our time.
Okay.
There are many social ills, as there are in any era, but laying a blame game at the feet of those who educate is not a worthy approach or an answer. So that's the first thing I'd say. The second is I'd acknowledge that all forms of schooling have their place. You know, that is co-education, single-sex educational settings. As a society, you know, I think we love to question or to say one is right or better than another. They're simply different. You know, they offer different things and different cultures, approaches, pedagogies within their walls. And, you know, they serve the great diversity of students in different ways and at different times. So both forms have, I feel, their place in society, and we need to stop viewing them as right or wrong. Better or worse, they both have their place in the world of education and in catering for the great diversity of people and their interests and families' orientation as well.
Yeah, that's well explained.
So maybe then as we turn our mind to a school that educates boys, which is to the heart of your question, you know, the same boys who are growing up in co-educational family units and who travel to and from in a co-educational society, in our setting, you know, we feel that we're incredibly well served in the one-third of a day, I point out, the one-third of a day that they spend with other boys in an environment that is orientated, you know, quite specifically to cater, you know, for their needs and their learning situation. I still recall some, actually decades ago, and we've sometimes referred in the past to books and other things that inform us. I can remember reading that book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And I guess I was amused and somewhat fascinated by, you know, the simple observations the author made about, you know, those inherent psychological differences between the sexes. Of course, it didn't mean that every man was like that and every woman was like that. But my point, I guess, is not about the nature of how genders enter into a relationship, which is a little of the orientation of that book, but I guess it illuminated for me some fairly core general differences in approaches and mindsets. So,
and do you mean approaches and mindsets within an educational setting?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think within society at large, to be fair, but certainly if we apply that into education. So, you know, boys will come at things from their own mindset. They'll have their own little idiosyncrasies and needs. You know, they tend to respond in different ways and they respond to different approaches. Therefore, you know, the teachers who we have, they're so attuned, I find, to the, and Will, this will be great to get back to you at a point, you know, I find that they're attuned to the needs of our boys, you know, to their ways, you know, of being in the classroom. You know, teachers are constantly used to differentiating based on the differences inherent in all students, but navigating social and gender differences in most moments is not, you know, an additional requirement or sort of complexity for them in our classroom setting. It also means, I think, Shane, that, you know, they're attuned to and work on the shadow side of certain traits and behaviours.
So what do you mean by that?
So, you know, boys don't get it right all the time. No one gets it right all the time. But they do know, you know, for all of the beautiful qualities of young men, you know, they're also in a practice of learning. And I think And I think this is maybe where the toxic masculinity bit seems to come in. So I remember saying last week, for me, toxic is a noun, not an adjective.
Yeah, you did mention that last week. I do remember that. Yeah.
So, you know, in our modern world, we love to use it as an adjective, you know, to apply to it, you know, to label a group and often to probably give them a bit of a whack and lay some blame at their feet. For me, you know, toxic is toxic. It doesn't matter the gender, race, culture, orientation, any other point of identification. It's if it's something that's, you know, that's poisonous to the, you know, the definition of toxic, you know, if it's unpleasant, if it's disrespectful, if it's lacking in any moral or decent standards or values, then it's unacceptable. And you know, it should be called out for that. And so, you know, these poor conditions, they can be present in any school, any workplace, any club, church, organisation, in any group. And so I think, therefore, it's important to convey that, you know, not all environments are the same. Not all schools are the same. Not all boys' schools are the same. Not all co-ed schools are the same. You know, what you can maybe only lay claim to is the conditions that are present, that are visible, but also what is not present, which is maybe to try and say that poor behaviours, which is not to say, well, I'll put it this way, it's not to say that poor behaviours are never seen, but rather it's what happens if certain behaviours or actions are seen. You know, are they ignored? Is it deemed too hard to address, not addressed at all? Does it ripple across and, you know, infect the culture, the tone, the atmosphere that these people are operating within? So I think that's important.
I'm going to come back and ask you about the tone of Xavier College. I'd be really interested to hear that. But, Wilbert, that was actually really interesting hearing Bill talk there about a whole variety of things. And as best you can, give us an overview from a boy's point of view. Yes, you're the college captain, but you're one of thousands of students. You heard a lot there from Bill. What reactions would you have, and what do you see on the ground, as it were?
Yeah, I sort of think that education as a whole, as we put it, is one, the intellectual side and the academics of educating our minds and getting the best score at the end of the day possible in year 12. But Mr. Doherty speaks about rounding us out as individuals, and Father Middleton also speaks of the heart of the education is the education of the heart.
Yeah, I've heard him
that's
say
one
that.
Of his go-to lines. And I feel like in that process of rounding us out as boys, you have to understand us and our context as an emerging generation of males in this world. And the teachers and the staff at Xavier just sort of know how to deal with us. They know us and they know our ways and how we sort of interact with each other in a boys context and in a boys school. So that's one of the biggest things I pick up on. And if it's just a teacher or a staff member sort of letting things play out and sort of taking a step back and seeing how boys sort of interact with different situations and examples and places they put themselves in, I think that that's one of the biggest things that we can do as a boys school and that we do very well as it is. Yeah, so I think that the example that teachers set and the way they let us have a go and take a step back and then come in and find the examples and the situations where teachers need to step in and help boys is a very difficult task and one that I think is sort of overlooked at times. So, yeah, I think that's one of our biggest strengths as a boys' school.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Wilbur, I couldn't agree with you more. I think you really nailed it. I think that's the craft of a teacher. You know, I'll speak often about our task isn't to give them fish. Our task is to teach them to fish. And so there's a great art form in the teacher. And I find our staff just get this balance right. You know, boys, sometimes they need to be able to get, they understand by sometimes getting things wrong, but when to step out and when to step in and not let it go, you know, a moment too far where that you bring together what's the essential learning here or the value that's at stake. And, you know, I think that's at the heart of a Jesuit school, which is not just not prescriptive, it's educative.
Yeah. So do you ever feel shortchanged not being at a co-ed school? Because, you know, you're 17 and about to leave school. Is there anything along the path where you've said, gee, it would have been nice to have girls alongside?
It's interesting, Heels, because from what I read in the media and the criticism around single schools, that seems to be one of the biggest criticisms of a single sex school, that boys may not have enough opportunity to mix with the other sex and know what it's like to be a friend with a girl, or if a boy is not as socially inclined, how are they going to learn to live and relate to females in a modern day? So I think that boys' schools, if they do it right, and we do it right, we provide avenues and opportunities to engage with girls. We have, at the moment, a Your Voice program going with Loretto, and we have various different events throughout the year with Jenna Zano, and we've got those opportunities. But at the heart of what we do at Xavier, we focus on building a boys' education and an education that fosters what it means to be a man in 2025 and how we can do that in the most appropriate way. And I think that the benefits that you get from doing that in an environment where it is just boys and you can learn and sometimes live with each other as boys do in the boarding house,
yeah, sure,
here, it's the pros that come with that outweigh sort of the pros for me, and I haven't lived or experienced it, of being in a co-educational school.
And Bill, we finished a couple of minutes ago before we introduced Wilbur around the tone of a school. Put your principal's hat on, the tone of Xavier. I get the feeling from what parents say to me, the tone has altered a bit in a few years to be not maybe as, you know, heavy sport, for instance, or, you know, that sort of old-fashioned Aussie. Anyway, yeah. Your answer.
I think it was, if I cast back, I think it was robust.
Okay, good word. Yeah.
And that's got its shadow sides. And so I think I could be confident, and I'd be proud to say, Shane, that I think Xavier is a place where right and wrong are understood and respected, okay, where core values are known, where individuals themselves are known and accepted for who they are. You know, where human decency is experienced, where a sense of sportsmanship or of etiquette in certain settings is applied, but where there's a genuine consideration of the other. And again, boys won't always get it right. But what I know here is that when they don't, there's someone accompanying them and they're unpacking that. And that's not a moment to let slip by. That's one of life's really important learning moments. And again, I refer back, I'm really proud of our teachers who accompany our boys, you know, our heads of house, our assistant head of house, our tutors. You know, our pastoral structure is deep. You know, everyone's got pastoral care, but you know, we have made an extensive commitment into making sure, yeah, that staff have time to genuinely accompany boys, and that doesn't mean they're mopping up a few things that didn't go so well. They're investing into that beige bunch in that, you know. You know, they're just good lads, not necessarily setting, you know, the world alight, but also not the other way. And they're accompanied here. They're known here, and I think that's incredibly impressive. So, you know, it takes, you know, a really full tide to raise the boats, and I think that tide at Xavier
is rising. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But also, I think it's the culture and it's the prevailing atmosphere that enables you to be that best version of yourself, because it is what we do here.
Wilbur, I've got a question for Bill, but you chip in first.
Yeah, just to sort of attest to that and to your question, heels of Mr. Doherty, the tone of a school, and is it just sport, or is it just all one thing at the same time? I think that it's simply not. I'd draw back to last Saturday on the Roach at Xavier vs St. Kevin's, and we had a massive sport game going on, and we had about 500 of our boys voluntarily go there on a Saturday to watch their mates play. And it wasn't all about sport. It was about being there with each other. We had music playing, we had boys on the saxophones, we had the music department get involved, and we had something that I don't think you can get at any other sort of organisation or place, where boys come together and they're comfortable being who they are in a group, and possibly in a group where things could go wrong and we could have bad outcomes in that group mentality. And that's, again, one of the byproducts of toxic masculinity. Yeah. People speak about toxic groups and a big like group mentality that breeds that toxic masculinity. But we sort of go in not walking on eggshells in that arena. We want to be there. We want to be proactive and progressive in that space. And we go in wholeheartedly, knowing how we hold ourselves in that moment, as Mr. Doherty always draws attention to, and how we do it right. And I think we did it very right last Saturday.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And I think the way we brought the diversity of what we do at Xavier into the one day with the music, with the sport, with the chants, with the support, I think was a great day for Xavier.
Yeah, well said. So well said, Wilbur. And I observe that as well, Shane. You know, it might be cricket. And, you know, we're in the middle of term one and the boys just flood down. It's not because they all passionately necessarily love cricket, but they're there for their mates who are out going on the roach, and they only get to see a few overs. But there's a sense of etiquette and sportsmanship, and there won't be cheering as a ball's bowled or jeering at an opponent. It's how do we hold ourselves there, and what is cricket? What is its culture? What is it asking us to do? And again, you know, our younger sevens and eights who are now over, you know, sometimes think they're watching a little bit of the cricket, but they're actually watching often their bigger brothers going, oh, is that how we do it? And on conversely, oh, that's what we don't do. And I think that, again, that was witnessed on the weekend, and great, you know, fantastic victory. Let's go to that. It was stirring and some great victories across the board. We might come back to that one. But again, you know, with such, you know, healthy competition, that tendency to, well, you know, run on or celebrate or whatever. Again, I watch our boys and know, you know, our boys have to celebrate with their opponents, win, lose or draw. And lift each other up. There's a speech, you know, that is given recognition of the occasion that's been. The teams do that, and then our boys just, you know, they're in our own little zone, and our boys come to their brothers, and they celebrate there. But there's measure and thoughtfulness and respect. I think
it was interesting. I brought my two sons on Saturday, both in their 30s, and both made the same comment. That wasn't the Xavier they knew.
Yeah.
And here it was.
Yeah, and I and Wilbur, that's, you know, that's a great credit. That's student led. I was having a reflection with Michael Eilert, our director of senior school, during the week, and we might have been a little bit more directive, you know, in as we tried to, you know, shift or mould or be more thoughtful in the space. But I admire now, you know, this is Wilbur, and it's our cheer captains. You know, three incredibly likeable boys, and the other prefects who set a standard and say, hey, this is what we do, and they lead that. And when it comes from your own, you know, therefore, back to your first question, this is part of our culture. This is, you know, and that is what you do when no one's watching. It's what you do when everyone's watching. It's how you hold yourself, Wilbur, as you said, in those moments.
I want to leave enough time to talk around the grounds, Wilbur, with what was a fantastic day for Xavier College on Saturday. But, Bill, one last question around this whole boys' education topic. You're taking tours constantly, which I know takes up a lot of your time, but it's great because there's so many people interested in having their boys perhaps part of Xavier. But do you get a theme from, you know, parents in terms of maybe the co-ed thing or other things? You know, what are parents bringing to the table on those tours?
Yeah, I think it's one of the highlights of my week. I love walking around. You get to engage with so many, you know, of our own boys and our staff members as you tour through. They're proud to, you know, show off the school or make a comment, but they're also just naturally authentic, being themselves. And there's no pretense. This is what you see here. So it's a highlight of my week, Shane. But I think I do sense that there are lots of different contexts out there, and people then, you hear certain things, and there's certain, you know, and as I said, you know, sometimes debunking a few myths or mindsets. Mm-hmm. And I think parents are trying to wade through, gee, what's the right approach here? And, you know, what's the right environment for my son? And I'm not quite sure who he is or how he will turn out or where his skills and gifts will be. And I think a school's got to offer genuinely positive experiences in all domains, because if it's the world of music or taking to the stage or debate, which again are signature pieces of ourselves, and accepted and loved, whether you're in the Creative Arts, and you always think of the Creative Arts Festival, one of the last, you know, great big events that our, certainly our Year 12s have, and so many Year 12 boys just go to see their mates and the great display of artistic work, you know, whether it be visual or any other medium. These are environments where there's a place for you to find your tribe and to succeed, and it's a difficult journey. We fully appreciate for parents discerning this, and they hear a lot in the media, and there's speculation and there's theories. So that's why I think come in and have a look and get the vibe and get a sense and hear the messages.
Well, I know the tours tend to be full just about the whole time. I feel like we've almost half done around the grounds today, but I think we should hit that button, Michael.
Wilbo Faikiki, why don't we start with last Saturday? It was a special day for the college, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had three wins on the day. We all knocked off St. Kevin's, the soccer, the rugby and the AFL. So it was a great day. And I know the rugby, it was a big milestone for them. I don't think, is there a year on that, Mr. Doherty?
Yeah, there is. So Xavier haven't won too many. So we play for the Kerr Cup. Xavier's name's on it three times. And St. Kevin's has enjoyed a wonderful tradition in rugby. So the first time since 2000.
Wow.
The Xavier boys, and it was a great game. It was incredibly spirited, and the boys are doing really well. But what I love, probably I saw a few great little sort of videos after the event as well. And as Wilbur, as you were saying, you know, there's musicians. I saw, you know, most of the rugby team sort of in that crowd supporting their first 18 mates, a diverse, eclectic group. It was a great day just of college spirit and for Xavier, wasn't it, Wilbur?
Yeah, it was. It was fantastic. Drawing on that, we've moved into a different week of schooling, and it's Lodalto Sea Week this week at school, which is the environment week. It was the Pope's doing Lodalto Sea, an encyclical, I believe. And we're sort of drawing on that and doing as much as we can to better the environment and work with it and live with the land rather than be engaged in sort of.
I was actually working with the Archbishop when Laudato Si was actually released a few years ago, and gee whiz, I don't think there's been an encyclical talked about as much in my whole life, I reckon, than Laudato Si.
Isn't it interesting when at the passing of our dear Pope, there's such reflection that occurs, and it's possibly only then that you actually really realise the impact and the progressiveness or the thoughtfulness. But, you know, in our context, we'll talk about the care of our common home, where we bring humanity into that environmental message. So, yeah, keep going, Wilbur.
Yeah, so one of the activities we've got going with that is a Marine Mammal Foundation speaker on Friday at lunchtime, so I'm sure the boys will love that. And then today, another thing that we haven't sort of delved too much into but is very involved with this space is our well-being and how we look after ourselves and the great sort of mateship and camaraderie, and we have drawn on the pastoral systems and how well-being is interweaved into that. But we've got a big well-being assembly today, a rector's assembly, and Father Middleton, it's his biggest priority, the well-being of the students. So yeah, it's a big assembly today.
That might be actually a great one to unpack. We won't go through, there's a special guest speaker, but we won't go through that, but that at a point in time I think might be lovely to return to.
And we've talked about the two big dinners, the leaders' dinner and then the global young leaders. There's just been so much happening.
Yeah, it's been so busy, Hills. We've also got DAV debating tonight, round three. So the boys have been preparing very well, ensuring they get the best results they can. And Mr. Stefano's really raring to go tonight.
Well, he was right at the heart of that global leaders' dinner. And what I've loved, Wilbur, is just the enthusiasm. Like, people just are loving being part of the debating program. And it's, you know, whilst it might be pressured at the time as you're formulating a thought or a rebuttal or whatever it might be, there's a great spirit with how the boys engage, and they can see themselves just learning. They're putting themselves out on the edge for some.
So, folks, really interesting topic today around boys' education and last week, and we'd like maybe even to devote one more episode. I'd love to get Michael Eilert in one day as the director of the senior school, and possibly Brett as our director at the junior school. So we will come back to this topic, but I'd love, if you have enjoyed it today, to let people know about this, and if you've got any questions, as I said earlier in the year, that you'd like us to unpack even further, then, you know, feel free to contact me via email, shane.healy at xavier.vic.edu.au. We've covered some ground, Bill.
We have. It's been another great episode, and it's lovely to be able to reflect on college life as much as some bigger themes. So thanks, Shane. Thanks, Wilbur. Well, thanks for your leadership, mate.
Thanks, Mr. Doherty.
Get well, Wilbur.
Yeah, Wilbur.
And we'll be back with another exciting Zav Chat episode 7 days hence.